day later than usual, and this is your AEW Dynamite review for the final Dynamite before Forbidden Door this Sunday in Chicago. I am the Solomonster, so a little bit different here on a Thursday night. Usually we do this immediately after Dynamite on Wednesdays, but it wasn't possible, but I wasn't going to leave you guys hanging. We got a lot to get into here. When Tony Khan first announced, well, actually, technically, I guess it was Adam Cole who made the announcement on TV. When the announcement was first made about this pay-per-view, there was a lot of excitement. I was one of those people who was very excited to hear that finally, after all this time, and the pandemic had a lot to do with why we hadn't seen anything, we were going to have some collaboration between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know, I'm a fan of a lot of talent that they have over in New Japan. I try to watch at least all of their big shows. So I'm familiar with who a lot of the talent is, and I'm familiar with, you know, their key stars, and I've just been waiting. I've been waiting for the Okadas and the Tanahashis and the Ibushis and the Naitos and Osprey and people like that to make their way over and make appearances on AEW television, and for AEW talent, frankly, to go back and forth between the U.S. and Japan. We really haven't seen that much yet. I think over time we'll start to see that. We know Lance Archer is in the G1 next month. We know that. Little disappointing that he's the only one from the AEW contingent, but hopefully in due time. So for all of the excitement, though, there has also been a lot of criticism, mainly, I think, from people who don't really follow the New Japan product, mainly from people who don't consider themselves fans of New Japan. And that's perfectly fine. Not everybody is going to be a fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Totally understand. Some people like Mexican wrestling and Lucha Libre, some people don't. But a lot of people complaining, not just about the fact that, oh, you know, I'm not a big AEW or I'm not a big New Japan guy, but, oh, what about the casual fan? What is Tony Khan doing? How is he going to have this pay-per-view and completely leave the casual fan out in the cold? What is he doing? How will the casual fan ever be able to get into any of this stuff, right? That's all I heard about from people who all of a sudden were obsessed with this mythical, mystical casual fan that they were so concerned that AEW was neglecting. When in reality, a lot of these people, they're probably not even AEW fans, they don't give a shit if Tony Khan is catering to casual fans or not. You know, they're not into a lot of this stuff, and so they're playing it up like as if they actually care. They don't. And I'm not even saying it's not a valid question. It's just that I think a lot of the people who were making a stink about this were not doing so in good faith. So we heard a lot of that criticism. How are they going to make new fans with a show like this? Here's the answer. Here's the answer. They won't. That's the answer. That's not what this show was ever intended to do. That's not what this show was ever intended to be. This show was not designed to create new fans. I'm not saying that there can't be new fans made. Chances are there will not be many, if any, new fans created from this show, any new AEW fans. There might be some new New Japan fans. New Japan potentially could benefit from this, but AEW is not going to create a whole new fan base with this show. What this is a pay-per-view that did not previously exist on the calendar. Typically, after Double or Nothing, there were no pay-per-views from AEW until All Out in September. We get this extended break. They might have some themed episodes of Dynamite, but there are no pay-per-views. So what Tony Khan went and did was he added a new pay-per-view to the schedule that previously did not exist at the end of June. And honestly, it kind of reminds me of Survivor Series, I think, in some ways. This is like Survivor Series. The only difference is that AEW is not going to lie to you and tell you that it's the one time of year that you'll see AEW talent in the ring with New Japan talent, because they don't really treat their audience like fucking morons. And we all know that we've seen a bunch of New Japan guys on AEW television already for months. We've seen, you know, whether it's Minoru Suzuki or Will Ospreay or Jeff Cobb or any other number of Yuji Nagata, all the different people that we've seen, right? They're not going to lie and pretend like this is the only time of year that you get to see it. But it is kind of like Survivor Series in terms of it being an interpromotional thing. Only in this case, it is actually two different promotions coming together and putting together a card. That's basically what this is. This is Tony Khan playing fantasy booker for the month. He gets the chance to either sit in a room with, or probably not in a room, but maybe over a telephone call or Zoom call or whatever, he gets to sit there with Ghetto, and the two of them get to put together a fantasy card with fantasy matches that Tony Khan, I'm sure, has looked at and has mapped out, right? He's a big analytics guy. He's a big stats guy. He's probably got a big whiteboard with all these potential matches because he's a wrestling nerd, and he's probably got them all listed out, and he's all excited. He gets to play fantasy booker for the month. That is what this is. It is a gift to their base. It is a gift to some of the people that are in this chat right now who I know are diehard AEW fans. And not everybody in the chat is a diehard AEW fan, but I know a lot of you are. You know, you're fans of the product. It is a gift to those people. It is a gift to hardcore fans. And a lot of their audience is very excited, I think, to see the show this weekend. I'm one of those people. I happen to be one of those people who's looking forward to this show on Sunday. Now, I can quibble with some of the matches, how they feel slapped together, and I have. I have talked about it. You've heard me talk about that and criticize the build to some of these matches. Some of them do feel very slapped together at the last minute. You know, especially on TV this week, we saw examples of that. And I have, you know, criticized them for that. But keep in mind this fact, and this is probably the most important fact. It's the fact that WWE fans will always throw in your face if you're levying any kind of criticism towards WWE, but they have a big show coming up that's going to sell out, or they're going to pack a big stadium, right? They'll always say, but they're making billions of dollars. So they obviously are doing things right, right? Because they're making so much money and they're selling so many tickets. Well, you can apply the same logic here. Tickets went on sale for this show, and the allotment that they opened up back in May for Forbidden Door was gone within 24 hours. They sold out their initial allotment of tickets in less than a day. This show has already made over $1 million at the gate. It will go down as probably number two or three all time AEW in terms of million-dollar gates that this company has done. By the time we get to the pay-per-view on Sunday, they're going to have close to 20,000 tickets sold. Right now, it's over 17,000. They've been able to open up some new seats over the last couple of weeks. You know, now that they know what the production is going to be and the setup and everything, and WWE does the same thing. You know, eventually they open up new seats. So we're going to have almost 20K in that building on Sunday with a $1 million-plus gate at the United Center in Chicago. They're going to be packing them in the biggest arena in the country. I believe the United Center is the biggest NBA building in the country. And you are going to have a building filled with people who on day one said, I want to be part of this. I want to be at the show. I want to be in the crowd. I want to be part of this because it's the first time they've ever done this, and it's going to be something special. And they're in Chicago, so you know that crowd is going to be loud. Chicago is one of the best wrestling cities in the country. I would call that a success. The fact that they're going to have almost 20K and they made over $1 million at the gate tells me that this is a success, and very likely that we will see this again in the future. Now, I don't need to see this more than once a year. I would love to see AEW talent migrate over to Japan to be part of things like the G1 or a couple of key matches at Wrestle Kingdom, but once is enough. We don't need this multiple times a year. I think once annually makes sense, but we don't need it any more than that. Is this show going to make new fans? No. But I am glad that we are getting a show like this. And if you're not, then great news. Because after this week, all the New Japan guys, they're going to go back over to Japan. They're going to go back to doing their own thing. They got the G1 coming up in a few weeks. So you won't have to worry about this anymore. And next Wednesday, we've got Blood and Guts. They've already got 10,000 tickets out for their Detroit debut. That's going to be a big show coming up next week, too. And all the Forbidden Door talk and all the Forbidden Door and the New Japan stuff will be a thing of the past. So those people will be very happy as well. Although those people probably will never be happy. They'll never be happy, no matter what. I'm going to run through this card. I'm going to give you my predictions. I am going to have predictions for the pay-per-view on Sunday. We'll get into that a little bit later. The final Dynamite, though, last night, I did catch up on it this morning. I thought it had some very good stuff, but also some embarrassing things. There was a little bit of that, too, last night. This time, Excalibur, and you guys know how I feel about this, and I'm going to continue to talk about this, even though you've heard me talk about this before. I will continue to talk about this every single week, so long as Tony Khan has Excalibur out there speed talking. So he was trying so hard last night at the end of the show to speed read through all of the matches on the card on Sunday, plus the matches on Rampage tomorrow night, plus the matches, yeah, he mentioned Blood and Guts in Detroit on Dynamite next week, which I think is the only match announced so far. But he's out there and he's speed reading and he ends up tripping over his words. He got his tongue tied up and he really kind of lost himself there for a second before he tried to recover, right? And at the end, Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross are giving him his props and everything else. And I'm just sitting there going, again, I don't see how this guy reading through, zipping through all of those matches the way that he did is going to get people excited about any of those matches at all. They would almost be better off just putting the graphics up on screen for each match, and Excalibur keeps his mouth shut and doesn't say anything. I don't know why he insists on having this guy do this every single week. It was completely pointless. And when he tripped over his words and kind of lost, you know, what he was saying, it was embarrassing. It was very embarrassing. Also, the final confrontation at the end of the show. We had a big tag team match on this show. It was Jon Moxley and Hiroshi Tanahashi against Chris Jericho and Lance Archer. At the end of the show, last night, at the end of the show last night, the two of them came face-to-face when the match was over. All these other people are ringside brawling because everybody ran out, right? Everybody's running out there, and Moxley and Tanahashi are in the middle of the ring just staring at each other and kind of pretending to talk shit to each other. But this went on for so long, I thought they were going to break into a game of cards. I didn't know what they were going to do. They were clearly just stalling for time until they went off the air. So they stood there and they stood there and they pretended to talk to each other. They stood there and they stood there. I don't know if it was mistimed. I don't know if it went off exactly the way that they intended for it to, but I guess they were going for the chaotic effect, kind of like we used to get on those go-home episodes of Monday Night Raw before the Royal Rumble. I've seen plenty of go-home episodes of Raw before the Royal Rumble with big chaotic brawls that were a hell of a lot better than whatever the hell they gave us at the end of this show. So whatever they were trying here, I don't think that it was very effective. But worst of all, Bryan Danielson. When this card was announced, I would say that on the AEW side, the one name, if I had to pick one name, who more than any other AEW star, I really was looking forward to seeing who they were going to program him with and watching him on this show, was Bryan Danielson. And I know he's been dying to work with the New Japan talent now for years. He was trying to get it worked into with Nick Khan. He was trying to get it worked into his WWE contract if he would have re-signed. And he ended up leaving. But it was important enough to him that he wanted to be able to go over and work some matches for New Japan. Well, now he's going to be able to go over there and work whenever he wants. As soon as they start letting the crowds, you know, cheer and boo again. He doesn't want to go over there until they can make noise. Right now, all they can do is clap. But he's the one who I wanted to see. And really, I wanted to see him and Okada. But you could put him in the ring with almost anybody. You could do Danielson and Okada. You could do Danielson and Ospreay. You could do Danielson and Jay White. You could do him against almost any of those guys. Because we haven't seen it before, you know it's going to be a fun match. He got hurt last month in the Anarchy in the Arena match. We have not seen him since. Up until this show last night, we had not seen Bryan Danielson. The only thing we knew is that he's hurt. Adam Cole had gotten banged up on that show. The word on the street was that they were going to be okay. The belief was that they would be good to go by the time Forbidden Door rolled around. Adam Cole is. Bryan Danielson is not. And that's what we found out on this show last night, is the fact that Bryan Danielson will not be wrestling not only at Blood and Guts next week, but obviously he will not be on the pay-per-view this Sunday, which comes before Blood and Guts. That was a big disappointment to find that out. Not Tony Khan's fault. Nothing he can do about it. Shit happens. WWE and AEW have been plagued by injuries all month long. But that was very disappointing to hear. Factor in also the fact that CM Punk is hurt. Now we know Danielson is hurt. Tony Khan wanted to book Will Ospreay against Andrade at the pay-per-view, and because of politics with the Mexican promotions, he wasn't able to do that. Now we find out, I'm getting ready to go on the air here, and I find out within the last hour that Tomohiro Ishii is off the show. Ishii was supposed to be, he qualified earlier this week over in Japan. He qualified for the fourth and final spot in the All-Atlantic Championship match. It was going to be Ishii, Miro, Malakai Black, and Pac. And now Ishii is out. He has a left knee injury. He has been booted from the show. He will not be medically cleared. And taking his place will be Clark Connors, who is the person that he beat earlier this week at Corican Hall in their qualifying match. And I'm sure Clark Connors is a fine, upstanding young man, but Clark Connors is no Ishii. This show is cursed. I'm surprised they were able to put together the matches that they did. On paper, there's some pretty damn good matches that they were able to put together for the show. But when you consider the talents that they didn't have access to because they're out hurt or they couldn't use them, this show is cursed, despite it all. So that sucks to find out about Ishii. But we did get the coin drop on Dynamite last night. We got the coin drop and the debut appearance of Kazuchika Okada. Not the way I envisioned it eventually happening in terms of him coming out for the very first time. And they waited until the final show to even throw him out there. Now, maybe there were reasons for that. Maybe he couldn't, you know, he couldn't make it over and who knows, but not ideal. But nonetheless, we did finally get Okada on the show last night. So we'll go through everything. I didn't even mention Christian Cage and his promo, which I thought was one of the best parts of the entire show. Do me a favor, hit that like button if you would be so kind. Super chats are open. I see them popping up. I will read all of your super chats a little bit later on. I want to give a shout out here to Joshua Graham, who just joined the channel as a Sound Off legend. Shout out to Joshua. Also, we got Landa713, who just renewed as a Sound Off legend, and also Nathaniel Corelli, who just re-upped as a Sound Off superstar. So if you want to consider becoming a channel member, you can do so. The join button is down below in this video. So, hey, Griga, I see Griga, I see everybody here in the chat. We're going to hang out for a little bit here. We're going to go through the show. We're going to do predictions. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up. So, Bryan Danielson, he was out first to address his status for the pay-per-view on Sunday. As I said before, we had not seen Danielson in many weeks. We had not seen him since Double or Nothing in the Anarchy in the Arena match. There were rumors about him, but he was here finally to clear it all up. And unfortunately, the news was not great. He looked fine. He sounded fine. I mean, if you just looked at him and listened to him, you wouldn't think anything was wrong. Of course, that's the nature sometimes of head injuries, if that's what he had. He never actually came out and said what the injury was. Based on the way that people were talking about it and everything, you know, it sounds like he may have had a concussion. And if that's the case, you know, with him, it's always troubling when there's any kind of a head injury with Bryan Danielson, because WWE forced him into retirement for 3 years because of concussion issues and brain issues. So, you know, a concussion for him is always going to be serious business here. But he never actually came out and said what the injury was. He put over the pay-per-view. He put over Blood and Guts next week, which he was also supposed to be part of. He said Jericho had even paid Zack Sabre Jr. He had paid him. He had paid him off to issue a challenge to Danielson, which he did at the end of their Dominion show last week. Zack Sabre laid down the gauntlet to Bryan Danielson. He said he's got good news and bad news. He said the bad news is that he's not medically cleared to compete on either show, so he will not be on the card at Forbidden Door. I don't know if that means he won't be there at all. Maybe he'll be there, but he won't be wrestling, and he will not be part of the Blood and Guts match next week either. He told us not to worry about his health because his mind is working at full capacity. He can read 500 words a minute. Sounds like fucking Excalibur now. Maybe they should have him do the reads at the end of the show. He said he can run two minutes. He can run 2 minutes. How very impressive. He could run 2 miles without breaking a sweat, he said. He said the good news is that he has found a replacement to take on Zack Sabre Jr. And everybody would be astounded by what this person does in AEW. He reminded us that he came out of the bad guy tunnel, and so he wasn't going to tell us who the replacement was. And that got boos from people in the building. He said that, and look, the thing about that, because some people will probably criticize that and go, well, how come you're not going to announce the person before the pay-per-view? It would be nice to know who it is. Ordinarily, I would agree, and I would say that's a cop-out. You should let people know who's going to be on the card. But they did not announce anything for this show for Danielson. At no point was any match officially announced for this guy. So I don't mind it so much. If they want to use it as a hook now to get people to tune in for the pay-per-view, given that this wasn't even a thing up until this week, then I have no issue with that. So Sabre walked out. He jawed with Danielson from the stage. But the key is that, you know, he said that this person can go pound for pound in the ring with Zack Sabre from a technical perspective, but he could also go in blood and guts and really tear into Chris Jericho. Like, he can do both. And I think that was a tell. I think that was a giveaway as to who this is going to be. First of all, you know, it absolutely sucks, as I said before, absolutely sucks that Danielson can't go on this show. I know it was unavoidable. You know, I'm not telling him, wrap something around your head and get out there. But it sucks because he was the one I was looking forward to seeing the most on that card. As far as who this mystery person is, I've seen a bunch of names mentioned. There was somebody in the chat even before I went live who mentioned Timothy Thatcher. And I hadn't even thought of Timothy Thatcher because he's been gone for so long. Last time I saw him on NXT, I couldn't even tell you how many months ago it was. I don't know what he's up to. I don't know what his status is. I mean, obviously he's free and clear from WWE. He's long gone. So is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. I like Timothy Thatcher. You know, back when they were doing the fight pick gimmick with him in NXT, I was a fan of that. He would fit the bill as far as somebody who can work a technical style, but is also a known brawler. I hadn't thought about him. I don't think it's him. The other name I saw mentioned was Johnny Gargano. And look, Johnny Gargano is a great professional wrestler. Johnny Gargano is part of my two favorite matches in NXT history. Okay, both of them for the NXT Championship. One against Adam Cole, their first match in New York, and the other one in Philadelphia, I think that same year, against Andrade El Idolo. Okay, Andrade Cien Almas, he still was at that time. Two of the very best matches that you will ever see. So Johnny Gargano is very good at this professional wrestling thing. Johnny Gargano does not fit the bill for the way that Danielson was talking. The words he was using, the way he was describing this person, Gargano doesn't fit the bill. Gargano is a great technical wrestler. Gargano is not the kind of person who's going to go in there in a blood and guts match and tear somebody limb from limb. Gargano, as great as he is, would be a disappointment. I don't think it's Johnny Gargano. I've seen Jonathan Gresham's name mentioned, right? The champion, the top guy from Ring of Honor. We saw him make, I think, one appearance on AEW Dynamite. That was months ago, and I think he got hurt. Another injury. Jonathan Gresham, a great wrestler. I'm not taking anything away from his skills in the ring, and I think he against Zack Sabre Jr., technically speaking, would be a fantastic, very well-worked professional wrestling match. That would be a disappointment. I do not want it to be Johnny Gargano. I do not want it to be Jonathan Gresham. I do not want it to be anybody with the name John. And if you're listening to this, you're watching this right now, and your name is John or your name is Jonathan, I apologize. I don't want any Jonathans in this match. I cannot think of a single Jonathan that I want to see in this match on Sunday. This spot belongs to one person. It was the first name I thought of when Danielson started teasing this out. And he also mentioned the fact that this person is going to be the newest member of the Blackpool Combat Club. This is not one and done. He is going to be part of their group going forward. When I think of somebody who would fit the bill perfectly, somebody who could go in there and have a great match with Zack Sabre Jr., somebody who could go in there and has the size and strength to be an intimidating force in a match like Blood and Guts. Somebody who would fit in the Blackpool Combat Club like a glove. One man. Cesaro. Call him Claudio. Call him Cesaro. Call him whatever you want. Don't call him John. But whatever you call him, that has to be the spot for Cesaro. I've already talked it into myself. So if it's almost anybody else, I'm going to be disappointed. I am convinced that this is going to be the spot for him. And he's been making moves. You know, he trademarked a different variation of the Cesaro name, although I don't know why he wouldn't just go by Claudio. That was the name he was using in Ring of Honor before he came to WWE. And that is his real name. But it's got to be Claudio. Samoa Joe is another one that I saw mentioned. But in all fairness, I like Joe, but Danielson used the word, what was the word? I was going to say stupendous. Like I'm Vince McMahon here or something. Some of the words he was using, astounding, I think was the word. I like Joe, but there ain't nothing astounding these days about Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe already has his own program going with Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh. So, not Gresham, not Gargano. Thatcher's an interesting one, but I don't think so. Claudio. He would be perfect. And, you know, the thing about him is, you hear this criticism a lot from people who don't like AEW or just shit on it. Oh, it's just a bunch of vanilla midgets. Oh, it's just a bunch of small guys. Everybody's small. Or everybody just, it's all spot monkeys and they do dives and they fly. Can't say that about Cesaro. You can't say any of those things about Cesaro. The guy's got size. The guy's got strength. He's a freak of nature, this guy in the ring. He is deceptively strong. He doesn't look like just another talent on the AEW roster. Now, when I've mentioned his name before, I've mentioned his name as someone who I think Tony Khan could build around at the top of the card in a newly relaunched Ring of Honor. We still have no idea what's going on with Ring of Honor. Tony Khan has not said anything about Ring of Honor. Supposedly, they're going to have another pay-per-view in July. That's the last thing I heard. That was the last rumor I heard. There's been no update on TV. There's been no update on anything. So the last thing I want now is for him to be signed, let's say, and become a Ring of Honor guy, and then just fade into obscurity. If and when Tony Khan is finally ready to announce something, maybe television, something, with respect to Ring of Honor, he's somebody who could be your Ring of Honor world champion. He could split time between both rosters. Because, yes, even Cesaro runs the risk of getting lost in the shuffle on AEW television. There's just so many people. That was why my initial thought was maybe there's something you could do with him and not just AEW, but Ring of Honor. But if he's got a spot waiting for him in the Blackpool Combat Club with Danielson and Moxley and Regal, that would be the perfect place for him. So I will be disappointed if it ends up being anybody else. We had Will Ospreay. And we had Aussie Open, six-man tag against Orange Cassidy and Roppongi Vice. They did a lot of stuff. This is the description that I'm going to use from now on when it comes to some of these matches. They did a lot of stuff. They did all the stuff that you would expect them to do. But it was good stuff, right? The stuff that they do it well. They gave Cassidy the win with the orange punch to one of the Aussie Open guys. I think it was Mark Davis. They gave him the win here because he ain't getting it on Sunday. So this was his way of winning a match before ultimately he loses. Because he ain't going to go in there and win the IWGP. Actually, I don't even know if it's for the championship. But whether it is or not, he's not going in there and beating the IWGP US champion. Jeff Cobb and Great O'Conn, they came out. And the babyfaces were outnumbered until FTR's music hit. And the people were chanting for them. They wanted them to come out. They knew that they were about to come out. And when they finally hit their music and out came FTR, they got a big ovation. It's been something, I have to say, to follow their career over the last year. And to see where they were before. And I think a lot of people had respect for them as wrestlers, right? Oh, they're very good wrestlers. They're very good workers. Very good team. But now they've elevated their game so much that when their music hits, they get a reaction like they're a couple of stars. And we've seen Dax Harwood more so than Cash Wheeler in singles matches. Again, he's having a Wrestler of the Year caliber year for himself. So FTR is on fire right now. So they came out. Everybody was very happy to see them. And they ran down to the ring. There was no brawl. The heels bailed. It is going to be winner-take-all on Sunday for both the IWGP and the Ring of Honor tag team titles currently held by FTR. I thought that they did a terrible job of conveying that on the show. If it was mentioned here in the segment, it was mentioned in passing by Excalibur. I thought they did a terrible job of getting over the fact that this is a winner-takes-all match. You've got two sets of tag team titles on the line. FTR could walk out of there on Sunday for the first time ever as the IWGP Tag Team Champions. That should be a big deal. And it was just a total afterthought. In the back, we had Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh. Lethal said he wants to become the Ring of Honor TV champion, but Samoa Joe won't come back to work. Like so many other millions of Americans here in this country, after the pandemic, nobody wants to go back to work. Why would anybody want to go back to work? I don't want to go back to work. Sometimes you have to, but full-time, Monday through Friday, the fuck out of here. Maybe Samoa Joe wants to work remote, like everybody else. Maybe he wants to defend his championship remotely. What's so wrong about that? I can't say that I blame the guy. But Jay Lethal made a very good point. He said if Joe doesn't want to come back to work, then he should do the right thing and vacate the Ring of Honor television title. Because Lethal is the longest reigning ROH TV champion of all time. Then we had, it's always weird seeing myself on screen. Like I see myself and then there I am again. It's creepy. It's like the stuff of nightmares. You see multiple Sala monsters on screen at once. We had Christian Cage in the ring with Tony Schiavone. And Christian actually let Tony hold the microphone for the entire length of this interview. I was shocked. It was almost as if he just remembered that, you know, he thought that he was still in WWE. Had he realized that he was in AEW, the first thing he would have done was he would have ripped the microphone out of Tony's hand. But he let him hold it. And this was really one of the highlights of the entire show. Schiavone asked Christian, why? Why did you do what you did last week? Why did you turn on Jungle Boy? Why did you lay him out? Why did you give him a concerto? And he said that he wasn't going to let Jungle Boy eliminate him from the Casino Battle Royal a year ago and get away with it. And I had forgotten about that. So, you know, that's actually a bit of storyline continuity. I will give them credit for that because I didn't even remember the fact that Jungle Boy had eliminated him. But it's true. That's exactly what he did. And Christian is just, he's such a prick. This entire time, he's been lying in wait this entire year. He has not been able to let this thing go. He has not been able to let go of the fact that this kid dumped him out of the ring at a battle royal a year ago. Which sounds like the kind of thing that Christian would do now that he's a heel. He said more bothersome than Jungle Boy's actions was the reaction of the fans. He said that he's a legend and he deserves more respect than how fans reacted to that. He complained about fans expressing their opinions on social media. He said it's like him going through the drive-thru window and telling them how to do their jobs. I've done that before. Back when I used to get fast food occasionally, you go to the drive-up window and sometimes they give you the wrong order. Or they don't give you enough of something that you ordered, so you tell them, hey, you know, come on, you can do better. Which is a really shitty thing to say to somebody behind the window. Why I don't eat fast food anymore. So Schiavone was about to wrap things up. Christian was going on and on and on and on and on. And Schiavone is about to wrap things up. Christian says he's not done. He threatened Schiavone if he interrupted him again. He said that he didn't come to AEW to elevate younger talent, right? He hears all this stuff about how Christian is here to elevate the younger talent. He goes, that's not why I came here. I didn't come to AEW to elevate the younger talent. I came to AEW to earn a ton of money. And that's the only reason. Hey, at least he's being honest. I'm sure there's a lot of other guys who came over from WWE for the exact same reason. Tony Khan was doling out the money and Christian said, hey, what about me? Were it not for Vince McMahon intervening, Edge would be in AEW right now. Because Edge had an offer, a standing offer from Tony Khan. Only out of loyalty did he go to Vince McMahon and say, this is what's been presented to me. And then Vince said, you're not going to AEW. We're going to sign you to a contract. So he'd be there too. He'd probably have a sweetheart deal for himself. All these guys, they went to AEW. They're making bank. They're making bank. Big Show's in the back most of the time. I think he still does commentary on Dark Elevation. We haven't seen him on television doing anything physical because I think he had another hip operation several months ago. He's had real problems with his hip. If you remember, a few months ago, he was doing interviews that Tony Khan secured the rights to the Captain Insano character from Waterboy. And he said, you know, watch, you might see Captain Insano on AEW television soon. We haven't seen Captain Insano yet, but I'm sure Big Show's making very good money too. So he said, anybody in the back complaining about their paycheck, you want to earn my paycheck? Try having a match that people are talking about more than a week later. type of match that changes the industry and that they name pay-per-views after. Do that, and then you can be at my pay grade. Until then, eat my crumbs and enjoy it. And that felt like a little dig towards MJF. Not sure exactly why, but you know, it could be Tony Khan again playing the long game here and telling guys to sprinkle in little comments here and there that makes it feel that much more real. I don't know. I don't know why otherwise Christian would be picking a fight with MJF. He said the one time that he did not give Jungle Boy advice, he lost the tag team titles. And Shivani said last week, he talked about what Christian said to Jungle Boy's mom and sister. They were in the front row. And they put this footage on social media and on YouTube, but they aired it on TV last night of Christian going over to Jungle Boy's mom and his sister. And to be fair, they flipped him off. They gave him the double bird. So he was well within his rights to spout off on them. And Christian was saying to Jungle Boy's mom, "You raised a piece of shit." He said it again, "You raised a piece of shit." And here he said that he was only giving Jungle Boy's mom a chance to apologize for giving birth to him. He said that she's really mad. The real reason that she's upset is because she was sweet on him. She was sweet on Christian, and she wanted him to be Jungle Boy's father. He said Jungle Boy looked at him like a father figure, but he never wanted that. He said Jungle Boy had a father. And now he's dead. And then he said, "It's probably for the better because," or I think he said, "that's a good thing, probably, because he would be ashamed of his weak son crumbled at his feet, unable to fight back." So with that, Tarzan Boy hit. No Jungle Boy. They actually kept him out, selling the injuries from last week. And instead, we have the Dinosaur come out. So here comes Luchasaurus. He does not look very happy at all. He gets into the ring. He goozles Christian by the throat, backs him up into the corner. Christian is pretending he can't breathe. "You're choking me, you know, let go, let go." And he says, you and I, we need to talk in private, not out here in front of all these people. He goes, "Remember what happened to Marco?" And Luchasaurus tightened his grip, and then Christian said that, "You know, you're like a son to me." And Luchasaurus released his grip. Christian whispered something. He whispered sweet nothings in the dinosaur's ear, and then he hugged him. And they left together. So it looks like the idea here is that Christian is going to try to drive a wedge between Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. I was intrigued by the Marco stunt line. I hope it is not any indication that he's going to be coming back. But I was intrigued by them bringing Marco stunt into this. I don't know if that's going to end up being a throwaway line or if they're going to build a whole story around why he's not around anymore. So that was kind of interesting. You know, Christian, he stumbled in a few spots over his words, but overall, I thought this was a great promo. You know, his best work yet, as far as any kind of outside-the-ring stuff, since coming to AEW. You know, the stuff about your father is dead, and it's probably a good thing. I mean, to me, that was just cheap. I mean, they had the stuff where he told the mom, you know, "You raised a piece of shit," and all that. I thought that was enough. This was just like that tired, like, we've heard this before, and it was just done for some kind of a cheap reaction, I thought. But this is the Christian I've been waiting for a long time. He has been a complete non-factor on this roster, and now he's going to have a chance to hopefully get more time to do more promos like this. We'll get him back in the ring. He's not getting any younger. I think getting him in the ring with Jungle Boy is going to be a lot of fun when we eventually get to that point. And we'll see where the story goes with Luchasaurus now. Is this the beginning of the end of Jurassic Express? Is this going to spark the beginning of a singles career for both guys? Because at one point, you know, especially before the pandemic, Luchasaurus was one of the most over stars on the AEW roster. Everywhere he went, he would get these amazing reactions. And there were people saying this guy's a future world champion one day in AEW. And I don't get the sense that people are that enthusiastic about him now as they were 2 years ago. I think if you were to say, "Oh, Luchasaurus, he's going to be world champion one day," not that physically he doesn't, you know, have the tools, but I think people would kind of laugh and go, "Yeah, right." But a couple of years ago, or 2.5 years ago, he was easily one of the most over guys in the entire company. He's still popular, but he's lost quite a bit of steam, I think, from where he was. You know, is he going to be the beneficiary of a potential split? I don't know. But they have my attention with this story here. Here's the other question I would pose to you, though. My other question is, when Jungle Boy comes back, what are those promos going to sound like? We know Christian can cut a good promo. We know that already. The dinosaur doesn't do anything except, that's what he does. That's a Luchasaurus promo. But Jungle Boy, you know, his mic skills are not his strong suit. He's gotten better. He has gotten more comfortable on the microphone over the last several months. But can he go out there and cut that money promo that really makes people kind of sit up in their seat and take notice and go, hey, that was pretty fucking good? Because we have yet to see that from him. I don't know if he's got it in him. I think eventually he'll get there. But when he comes back, whether it's that week or the week after, he's going to be the one in the ring with Tony Schiavone. We've got to have that money promo from him. He's got to be able to grab that mic. He's got to show fire and passion for what Christian did to him, what Christian said about his family. Can he do that? Can he deliver that? That's my question. I don't know. I don't know if he has that in him yet. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. I got a nice email the other day from one of our regulars. I don't know if he wants me to share his name, so we'll just call him Ted, who said, thanks again for telling me about BetterHelp. Thanks in part to your recommendation, I'm slowly but surely getting back on track. And I've gotten a few emails like that since I started talking about BetterHelp on here, and I love hearing that. It's not a matter of, can online therapy help people? BetterHelp is already helping people. Burnout is one problem that affects a lot of people. Especially these days with everything going on in the world, it's very easy for people to get burned out. It can be crippling. You know, for me, it's working too much and not taking enough time for myself. That lack of energy or motivation, it's awful. I end up wasting time, and it's the thing that I hate the most, is wasting time. Never feels like there's enough of it. BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself for a change. Talking with somebody can help you figure out what's causing stress in your life. Sometimes you just need somebody that you can talk to about these things. And that's why I think it's worth it for you to give therapy a chance. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so that you don't have to see anybody on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Right now, SoundOff listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/solomonster. That's betterhelp.com/solomonster. Use the link, take the plunge, drop me a note to let me know about your experience. No one experience is the same. Always remember that. No one experience is the same. But in my own experience, and I know for some of you, it's been a positive. BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. They went to the Young Bucks and Kyle O'Reilly in the back. They showed highlights of the injury to Bobby Fish's foot. Darby Allin did a coffin drop onto a chair that was wrapped around his ankle last week. So we did not have any Bobby Fish on this show. They said that all is right in the world now that they have the AEW Tag Team titles back. They are the first ever two-time AEW Tag Team champions. Matt Jackson said people are asking if they're going to be at Forbidden Door. He said that they were the locksmith that unlocked the door in the first place. So, of course, they'll be there. Kyle said that Sting should be locked up for what he did to him on Rant. I thought Kyle was great here. He was very upset by what Sting did to him. He took a baseball bat to the nuts. And he was very upset about what happened on Rampage last week. And he talked about facing Sting and his cronies at Forbidden Door. And then later on in the show, we had a promo in the back with Darby and Sting talking about the pay-per-view. It's going to be the Bucks, El Fantasmo, and Hikuleo representing Bullet Club from New Japan, taking on Darby Allin, Sting, Shingo Takagi, and Hiromu Takahashi. How about that? Sting and Hiromu are going to be tag team partners at Forbidden Door. What a team. There's a team I never would have expected. Sting and Hiromu. Sting and Shingo as tag team partners on Sunday. By the way, the first time either of those names have ever been mentioned on AEW television. Shingo Takagi and Hiromu Takahashi. And it was in a throwaway segment backstage. So at the beginning when I said, look, there, you can find examples here of matches that just feel like they're thrown together with people that have never even been mentioned on the show before. This is one of the ones I was thinking of. We had Malakai Black against Penta Oscuro in a qualifying match for the AEW All Atlantic. Oh, that's right. Yes, J.J. Smith. How could I forget? They also have a tag team name. So Sting and Darby and Shingo and Hiromu, they are going by the Dudes with Attitude. Yeah, it's 1995 all over again. If it's going to be 1995, can we at least get Surfer Sting back? I mean, I know he doesn't have the crop top anymore, but the Dudes with Attitude. I wonder who came up with that name. So we had Malakai against Penta. This was, again, a qualifying match for the All-Atlantic Championship four-way coming up on Sunday. This was a good match, but it was hard to get excited. We already know who was going to go over here. I mentioned it to you guys last week. We knew going in that Penta and Rey Fénix and Andrade, for political reasons, were not going to be allowed to be on the Forbidden Door card on Sunday. And Penta and Rey Fénix, they knew about this weeks ago. Andrade had gone on a bit of a, not even a tirade, but clearly on social media last week, he was very upset. He did the old tweet and delete. He's putting the blame on AAA for why he is not being booked for the Forbidden Door. And really, it all has to do with the fact that AAA and CMLL in Mexico, they do not play nice. They have been at war with each other for 30 years. CMLL has a long-standing relationship and partnership and working agreement with New Japan. And so out of respect for that, New Japan does not want any of these people who have wrestled recently for AAA or have ties to AAA, they don't want them on the show. So that's why Penta and Fénix and Andrade are not going to be there on Sunday. So I knew Malakai was going to be winning this, as he should have regardless. Penta was selling a back injury that he suffered early on a dive. At least I hope that was selling. I mean, the last thing they could afford is another injury. Black got the win with the black mask kick. After it was over, Pac came down. He stared down Malakai, two of the four men in the four-way match on Sunday. We got a video from Miro that was played up on the big screen. It was supposed to be Pac, Miro, and Malakai, along with Tomohiro Ishii, who qualified on the New Japan side earlier this week. And what a fucking four-way that would have been, right? The Stone Pitbull, Malakai Black. You know, finally, we have Miro back. Just came back recently. And Pac is fantastic, right? We all know how great Pac is in the ring. You put those four in the ring together, and that had the makings of a show-stealing match. And as I said at the beginning of the stream, we got some breaking news in the last couple of hours that, unfortunately, Ishii is off the show. Ishii suffered a left knee injury earlier this week, and he is off the card. He is not medically cleared. So replacing him will be the man who he defeated at Corican Hall a few days ago to qualify for this match, Clark Connors, who started out as a young lion out of the LA Dojo, and now look at him. He's going to be sharing a ring with Malakai Black, Pac, and Miro, and that's going to be the four-way for the championship on Sunday. I'm sure Connors, he seems capable from what little I've seen of him. He seems more than capable, but he ain't no Ishii. He does not have the star power or the name of an Ishii, and so again, they're very snake-bit. They're very snake-bit by injuries when it comes to this show. Hangman Page, one-on-one with the last real man, Silas Young. God, I remember Silas from the Ring of Honor days when he was trying to make men out of the boys, Dalton Castle's boys, when he had the big feud with Dalton Castle. That's going back years now. So this was his first appearance on AEW television. Once this Forbidden Door stuff is over, Tony Khan is going to have to give everybody an update on what the hell is going on with Ring of Honor, because I think that there's been a little too much silence. I mean, obviously he has nothing to report, but you know, at what point do you have to say something? You bought this company, you went out on your own television show, you went out on Dynamite to make this big announcement, and then you said nothing. We have a Ring of Honor television champion. We have Ring of Honor tag team champions. Is Ring of Honor going to be an actual promotion or not? Are there negotiations ongoing for a potential TV spot? Is it going to be streaming? We know nothing. So they can get past this show, and then sometime next month, sometime this summer, he's really got to make some kind of announcement about this, because it's just getting ridiculous at this point. I'm getting questions, and I don't even have any good answers. You know, believe it or not, there are still some Ring of Honor fans left. They're asking me. I'm like, I don't fucking know. Tony Khan hasn't said a word. Hey, Martez, thanks for the sub. We did break 69,000 a couple of weeks ago. So I should thank everybody again for the 69 love here on the channel. Now we begin our march to 70K. I don't know how many months that'll take, but now we begin the ascent to 70,000 subs here on the channel. But that doesn't happen unless you hit the sub button. So if you are not subscribed already to this channel, then I don't know what the hell you're waiting for. You need to get on that. Somebody in the chat said, Tony, in the end, bought it to not let Vince have it. I think that's part of it, but I think he is a genuine Ring of Honor fan who has all these grandiose ideas for what he'd like to do with it. But, you know, it's just there's been nothing. And it's been a few months now, and it's just been nothing. But I do think that's part of that. I don't think he wanted it to fall into their hands, and then it's just to them a bunch of tapes that they throw up on Peacock. But at some point, you got to shit or get off the pot. You got to say something about it. So they had their match. It was a good match. At one point during the match, Silas, he attempted a handstand. Well, he did a handstand in the corner on the turnbuckle and then transitioned into a springboard moonsault, which was impressive, but he missed. And Hangman finished him off with the Buckshot Lariat. Adam Cole cut off Paige's music after the match, and he called for story time with Adam Cole. You know, I've noticed over the last couple of weeks, the reactions for Adam Cole have not been as strong. I don't know if you've picked up on that, because he was coming out there for a while, and he was being cheered like one of the biggest baby faces on the entire show. And like this week, he said, who's ready for story time with Adam Cole? And it was kind of like a tepid reaction. So maybe people finally came around to the fact that the guy's a fucking heel and you're not supposed to cheer for him. But he's not been getting the same reactions that he's been getting more recently. Although in Chicago, I think at the United Center, they'll probably go crazy for him. Hey, Susie Normoyle just subscribed to the channel. What's going on, Susie? So he was about to do story time, but he got cut off. He got cut off by the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, Jay White. And Switchblade said that he's been giving Forbidden Door a lot of thought as far as what he's going to do and who he's going to defend his title against. He said, Cole couldn't be the challenger because he lost to Hangman. You lost to that guy in the ring twice. And everybody went, ooh. And Switchblade walked down to the ring to confront Hangman in the ring. They had a face-off. They started brawling. Cole got involved. He gave Hangman a low blow when Hangman was setting up for the Buckshot. So Jay White pounced on Hangman Page. Cole grabbed the IWGP belt, and he briefly teased possibly hitting his friend, possibly hitting Jay White with his own championship, but instead, he asked White to pick Hangman back up. And all of a sudden, the coin dropped. The coin dropped. Here we are now. Is it 5 days? 4 days? 4 days, I think. Before this pay-per-view, we hear the coin drop, and out comes Kazuchika Okada, one of the all-time greats, making his debut appearance here on AEW television. He runs down to the ring, and he helps Hangman Page fight off the heels. He was about to hit the Rainmaker on Switchblade, but the champion ducked for cover. Okada's music played to end the segment, and with no announcement made of any match for the pay-per-view. So when this segment was over, you were left thinking that maybe we're going to get a tag team match. That was the match that I had pitched. You do Okada and Hangman against Jay White and Adam Cole. And I think that would have been a fine match. You know, I expected there to be some tag team matches on this show. It wasn't always going to be just a bunch of singles matches or triple threats. So you're left at the end of the segment thinking that that's what they're going to do. And then later on in the show, they made the announcement that despite everything that Jay White had to say about, I'm not defending against you, and I'm not defending against you. In the end, we're getting a four-way. For the IWGP heavyweight title, Jay White defends against Adam Cole, Hangman Page, and Okada. And that is going to be the match on Sunday. And that surprised me, because I did not think they were going to want to go with a second four-way match on the same show for a championship. We already have the All-Atlantic title match. And now we have another four-way for another championship. But even still, I don't see how you can look at this match on paper and tell me that these four are not going to go out there and tear the fucking house down. You've got Hangman, Adam Cole, Okada, and Jay White in the ring at the same time. This match is going to be fucking great. And it's the one that I'm looking forward to the most on this show. I was starting to worry. I was starting to think we weren't going to get Okada on this show. You know, they already lost Punk and Danielson. You can't do this show without Okada. He's the biggest star they have in that entire company. We had Tony Storm against The Problem. That's what she calls herself, The Problem. Marina Shafir. We have a problem, all right. It's all these Marina Shafir matches I've been seeing on my TV lately. That's the problem. She still looks like she's got two left feet. She needs more seasoning on Dark before I see her back on my television again. She needs to go back to Dark, and she needs to work out the kinks, work with more people, get more reps. I don't know what it is, but she did not look great here in this match. It was a win for Toni Storm heading into her championship match with Thunder Rosa on Sunday. I don't know that it really did her any favors. She had a tough time trying to put this woman away. They kept Marina Shafir very strong to the point where Toni didn't even win with her move. She won with basically some variation of a roll-up. She had to resort to a roll-up just to beat Marina Shafir, who's won nothing. And Toni Storm is the one challenging for the championship on Sunday, so I thought that was very bizarre. Nyla Rose had come to the ring with Shafir for some reason. I guess just to set this up here in the post-match. She attacked Toni Storm after the match. Oh, God. Thunder Rosa made the save. Toni smashed Nyla in the face with Rose's title belt before handing it back to her. The post-match stuff was paint-by-numbers shit, but the match itself just wasn't very good. Then we got to the main event. And we had Jon Moxley and Hiroshi Tanahashi, opponents on Sunday, now partners for one night, teaming up to take on Chris Jericho and Lance Archer. We got some star power in this match. We got some star power in this match. And Lance Archer. Tanahashi, also, I noticed Tanahashi's got the Keiji Muto knees. Watch Tanahashi move around. He's got those Keiji Muto knees now. So this is the first time that we've seen Jericho and Tanahashi in the ring together in a couple of years since their match at Wrestle Kingdom. So that was kind of cool to see two of them back in the ring together. He had Tanahashi in the walls of Jericho for some time before he broke out of it. Moxley slipped out of a blackout attempt by Archer and hit the paradigm shift, but he tagged in Tanahashi, which is a little strange. I don't know why he wouldn't just win the match for himself, but I'm sure they wanted to give Tanahashi a win here because he ain't getting one on Sunday. So he tagged in Tanahashi. Tanahashi went up to the top rope, and he hit the high fly flow to Archer for the win. So Moxley and Tanahashi, they go face-to-face after the match is over. Eddie Kingston runs down to the ring, and Eddie Kingston goes after Chris Jericho. He goes after Sammy Guevara, who was also out there. He was out there with Ty Conti. So Kingston goes after them. Wheeler Yuta runs out to even the odds. He threw a chair at Sammy's face. Here comes Minoru Suzuki. He's got that big grin on his face. And Wheeler Yuta, he goes after Suzuki, which is a bad idea. And the rest of Jericho's goon squad, they run down, followed by Santana and Ortiz. So throughout all of this, this is all going on outside the ring. All this brawling and all this just mass chaos that they're trying to portray here, right? And throughout all of this, Moxley and Tanahashi are in the ring, their eyes are locked on one another, and they are not moving. They're not staring at what's going on outside the ring. They're not breaking their concentration. It's like they're having a staring contest, and they're talking shit to each other. And Tanahashi's kind of, he's cracking a smile. We don't know what's being said between them. Tanahashi's English is not great, so it's probably not much of anything. But, you know, they're standing there now for an uncomfortably long period of time. While all of this brawling is going on outside, the people in the crowd don't seem to be particularly excited about all this brawling that they're seeing. I'm not sure that they knew what was going on with some of the people who were running out there. Yeah, I like the idea that they wouldn't break their concentration despite all the chaos. They were so laser-focused on each other. But again, I don't know if they missed the time cue. They came up short on time, and they were just trying to stretch until they were ready to go off the air, but this was a very awkward stare down, a very awkward ending to this show. I don't know that it came off the way they intended it to. On the whole, I mean, I had fun with it. It was not a perfect show. I had fun with it for the most part. And it was very cool to finally see Okada on TV. Even though he was in street clothes, he wasn't out there in his robe and, you know, the Okada bills falling from the ceiling. I assume they're saving that for the pay-per-view. So not the way I envisioned an eventual Okada debut, but we did get to see him on the show. Look, people are not wrong when they criticize a lot of these segments where these people are just thrown out there. There's absolutely valid criticism that you can levy against Tony Khan in the way that these shows are formatted and booked, and he's got so many things he's trying to squeeze in. I think it's perfectly valid to call that out. But now that the card is complete, I think there's enough strong matches on paper that I'm very much looking forward to the show on Sunday, despite all the injury issues that have plagued them. And again, it just feels very snake-bitten. I do think the card is very strong on paper. So let's go through this here, because I have the entire card in front of me, and I will include predictions. Michael Jensen in the chat wants my thoughts on the Ishii news. We talked about Ishii a little bit earlier, so when we talked about him, I'll get to him again here in a little bit, but the buy-in match is Max Caster and the Gun Club taking on the New Japan Dojo's Kevin Knight, the DKC, I have no idea who that is, Alex Coughlin, and Yuya Uemura. I'm going to go with the DKC and his partners just so they can, you know, throw the New Japan crew a bone here, give him a win on the pre-show. This match here is not going to be announced until Rampage tomorrow, so a little spoiler alert here, but we've got Keith Lee and Shane Strickland. They are going to be taking on El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. This should be a win for Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. If they can't beat El Fantasmo and Mr. Kanemaru, then I think their days as a tag team belong in the past. Now, maybe it's part of the angle here. Remember, there was tension between them when Swerve dumped Lee out of the Battle Royal on TV a few weeks ago. So if they're building to an official split between them, they could lose this match. But I don't know what storyline direction they're planning for Keith Lee and Shane Strickland. Otherwise, they should absolutely not lose this match. We have Bryan Danielson's Mystery Man taking on Zack Sabre Jr. Again, I already told you guys who I think it is going to be, who I think it should be. It should be Claudio, and it should be a win. Really, whoever the Mystery Man is. This is the guy's first night in AEW, and he's going to be the newest member of the Blackpool Combat Club. And Zack Sabre Jr. is not exactly wrestling royalty on the New Japan side. He can take the loss. So whoever it is, it should be a win for Team AEW in this match. We've got the IWGP United States Champion Will Ospreay taking on Orange Cassidy. I see a lot of people shitting on this match. Yes, Will Ospreay and Andrade would have been a fucking great match. I think that these two are going to surprise a lot of people. I think these two are going, because there are people who are just completely shitting on this, I think these two are going to go out there and they're going to turn a lot of people into fools by the time they're done here. I think they're going to prove a lot of people wrong. Orange Cassidy is not beating the IWGP US champion. And I think it's non-title, but even still. Will Ospreay is not losing this match. We have Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Yuta, and Shota Umino taking on Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Minoru Suzuki. I got to go with Murder Grandpa here in this. We got to go with Murder Grandpa and just Grandpa and Sammy Guevara. So I'm going with those three. We've got the AEW Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks, with El Fantasmo and Hikuleo taking on Darby Allin, Sting, Hiromu Takahashi, and Shingo Takagi, the dudes with attitudes. The dudes with attitudes. It's like the new generation era all over again. Oh, it is for the title. Okay, so apparently the match with Orange Cassidy and Will Ospreay is for the IWGP US title. All the more reason why that match is not going to go to Orange Cassidy. As far as this match goes, I'm going with Darby, Sting, Hiromu, and Shingo. We got Pac, Miro, Malakai Black, and Clark Connors replacing the injured Tomohiro Ishii to determine the first ever AEW All Atlantic champion. Honestly, you know what I would have done? I would have just, once Ishii got hurt, I would have just made it a triple threat. But, you know, they wanted, it is a forbidden door. So they wanted some New Japan representation in the match. And so this is the solution that they came up with. But it doesn't change my prediction. I think Miro is walking out with that title. I think the Redeemer will leave with gold on Sunday. We've got Thunder Rosa, speaking of gold, defending her AEW women's title against Toni Storm. This is going to be a big test, I think, for both women. Toni Storm, it's her biggest match in AEW to date. Thunder Rosa, she had a very good match with Serena Deeb at Double or Nothing, but she's also had some other matches. She had the match with Marina Shafir on TV, and everybody was talking about, oh, it looked like she sandbagged her, and, you know, it looked like she was just going through the motions and all this. We know what Thunder Rosa can do, and we've seen what Toni Storm can do. You put those two together and it has the makings of what should be a very good match. I can't imagine that Rosa loses the title this soon. So I have Thunder Rosa retaining her women's title. We've got the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, FTR, against the IWGP Tag Team Champions, Great O'Khan and Jeff Cobb, and Roppongi Vice, winner take all. All championships will be on the line. That's the IWGP and the ROH belts. All on the line here in this match. I predict that when this is over, FTR is going to have all the gold. All the gold heading into All Out in September, where they will challenge the Young Bucks for the AEW tag team titles. We've got Jay White defending his IWGP heavyweight title against Okada, Adam Page, and Adam Cole. This could easily steal the show. I mean, you could pick three or four different matches on this card that you can conceivably say that for, at least three or four. The level of talent in this match is insane. And so I think these four are going to go out there and have an excellent match. But, you know, again, like the Thunder Rosa thing, like the Will Ospreay thing, they're both new champions. I mean, Thunder Rosa actually has had the title for a few months now. Ospreay just won the U.S. belt weeks ago. Jay White literally won the belt about a week ago. He ain't losing the IWGP belt this quickly, I wouldn't think. I mean, his first run with the other title, that wasn't very long either, but I can't imagine Jay White loses it this Sunday. So I think Switchblade holds on to the IWGP belt. And then we get to the main event. Hiroshi Tanahashi, the ace of New Japan, 8 times IWGP heavyweight champion, challenging Jon Moxley to determine the interim AEW world champion, since CM Punk went and did a stage dive into the crowd and broke his foot. He had surgery. Punk is going to be out for a number of months. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. But we do know that there will be an interim champion when this is over. Moxley is finally getting Tanahashi in the ring one-on-one after chasing him for months from Japan to the U.S. They are not crowning an interim champion just to put it on somebody who's not going to be around to defend it, because that would make no fucking sense. Tanahashi is about to go back to Japan. The G1 is about to kick off. What sense would it make to put the title on Tanahashi other than the prestige and to, you know, make it so that when Punk is ready to come back, you can give the fans the match you originally were promoting? That would be nice, but it makes no sense to put the title on somebody who's not going to be around. Jon Moxley is going to be a 2-time AEW World Champion, the first ever 2-time AEW World Champion when this is over. Question is, does CM Punk make an appearance? They're in Chicago. They're at the United Center, the same place where Punk came back after 7 years and blew the roof off the place. How do you not have CM Punk at least limp out to the ring or limp out on stage? Maybe do a little stare down, hold up his belt. Jon Moxley holds up his, giving us a little tease for what's to come down the road. I guess it depends on the extent of Punk's, you know, injury. He's got a bum foot, so he might be on crutches, but you gotta have Punk. You're in Chicago at the United Center. Punk has to be on the show. But Moxley is going to be the champion here, and that, unless I've missed something, that is the complete card. It's a pretty big card. Hopefully it does not go as long as the Double or Nothing card did. Hopefully they can tighten that up a little bit. But I'm sure it'll go to sometime around midnight. Of course, as you guys know, as soon as the show goes off the air, I go live. And you can come back here to the channel and watch me break down the Forbidden Door. We'll talk about the card from beginning to end. Punk's doing commentary. You know what? It's a good point. We'll probably have Punk on commentary. But I still think you got to have some kind of a, even if it's from afar, You know, one guy holds up his belt, the other one holds up his. But that's a good point. We'll probably get Punk. He'll get an entrance, and then he'll be on commentary for the match. Johnny Ace is All Elite. Well, unless Johnny Ace is the new name that John Morrison is going to use. Yeah, I don't think so. Oh, wait, I got breaking news here in my invisible earpiece that you can't see. I'm being told that Tony Khan has added, yes, he's added 5 additional matches in the last 75 minutes since I started this stream. We have 5 more matches added to the card. I have no idea what they are. How many more matches can they throw on this card? I wonder. All right, no Twitter poll because I didn't put a Twitter poll up last night, so we'll just go right into your super chats here. And we'll hang out for a little bit, see what you guys are talking about. Spicy Dried Chicken, thank you for that latest super chat. I will get to that here in a little bit. What do we got here? We got Hashway. Hashway is my guy. He's my boy. He starts us out with the $5 super chat. No questions, no remarks, only appreciation for your hard work and amazing content. Hope you are doing well. Good luck in the stream. Well, thank you, sir. My head is killing me. Oh, there's the Christian Cage super chat. Perfect. Brian Becerra, thank you for the $35. Soloception going on here on screen right now. Samoan Fan 101, will you talk about Slammiversary on Sunday? No. Shinakuma, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it. Flamethrower, Fluff Salisbury. Do you think that Timothy Thatcher could be Danielson's replacement? He can do the technical style and would be great in Blood and Guts. So that's what I was referring to before. He was the one who had mentioned Timothy Thatcher, which I honestly hadn't even thought about Thatcher. I haven't thought about him in months. But I think it's going to be Claudio. And again, there are, as Quizzical said in the chat, this is not confirmed. There's no All Elite graphic for Claudio. This is just rampant speculation about who the mystery man is going to be. But it's got to be Claudio. Naif Alsifar, thank you for the $1.99. Hey, Hooli, what's going on? You and me both. I was putting over Christian's promo earlier. It was the best part of the entire show. Joseph Brooks, $9.99. How would you book Rock against Shawn Michaels? Would you have the story be... What a question to get. Would you have the story be built off the time that Shawn Michaels cost Rock the title? Or would it be based off the time Sean used Rock in a promo in 2002 or just any story in general? No, I mean, is it a case where Rock is still, he's like Christian a year later stewing over being eliminated in the Battle Royal by Jungle Boy? It's like Rock hasn't been able to get over the one time in 1999 that Sean cost him the title on SmackDown? No, it's very simple. I mean, it really depends on what year you do the match, but it's just, it's icon against icon in a match that we never thought we would see. Two men who avoided each other throughout all their time in WWE. And maybe one guy says, you know, you were ducking me, you were afraid of me, but it's a very basic story. It doesn't have to be built off of any, you know, you were mean to my grandparents when you worked in Hawaii many years ago, fuck you, or, you know, it doesn't have to be anything like that. Most of the WWE audience, they don't even know about that story. They don't care. They don't care that Shawn Michaels was a young little punk 30 years ago who was a dick to one of Rock's aunts or one of his family members who promoted wrestling in Hawaii. They don't give a shit. And I'll bet you Rock doesn't give a shit either. Two of the biggest names in WWE history who have never set foot in the ring together one-on-one, and they're finally going to go one-on-one to prove who the better man is. Very similar to the Rock Hogan build, only without one guy trying to murder the other one. Rock was a very forgiving guy at the end of that WrestleMania match. You know, the guy tried to run him over with a Mack truck, and he shook the man's hand. He's a very forgiving soul. Was it his grandmother? Okay, it was Rock's grandmother. I don't know. That whole family is so huge. I get all my family members mixed up. We've got Dev to Dust. Do you think Brian Pillman would make a great Joker? I don't think he can... I don't think his acting ability on the silver screen would have been enough to carry that role. Hey, Rocky Road, what's going on? We got Spinner Sword with the $7 super chat. Watching your reviews in the podcast for a few months now, and I was wondering, how come you don't do a Monday Night Raw review on Wednesday after why would I do a Raw review on Wednesday after Dynamite? That doesn't make any sense. I don't do a Raw review on Mondays because I need to maintain my sanity. It's as simple as that. 3 hours every week with that show, it would fucking kill me. And I know I'm leaving, you know, views and money, ad money and all that on the table. Believe me, I could probably do very well by going live on Mondays. And I won't rule it out that I'll never do it. I've gone live on Monday sometimes for a special show. You know, I did it, I think, the night after WrestleMania this year, I believe. But to do that every week, I need to maintain my sanity. Meaty Sentai, somehow this is all Sunny's fault. I agree. Ishii, all of it. It's all Sunny's fault. She is in some way responsible for all of this. Yes, Marcus, that I can only take so much. I can only put so much upon my shoulders before I mean, it's like Atlas carrying the weight of the world on his shoulder. I can't do it. I can't do it. My shoulders are not that strong. Nayef, thank you for the $1.99. Tenorio, hello, Solomonster. What's going on? It's been a while. Just got back from Hawaii. I was just talking about Hawaii and The Rock's grandmother. I hope you enjoyed your time in Hawaii. One of those places I hope to one day get to in my life. Witterbird, long time to say hello when you're live. Hope you're all well. Vicky in the UK. Well, thank you very much, Vicky. I hope you're doing well, too. We got Dallas. Dallas Caballero. Dropping the $5 super chat. What's going on, Dallas? I've been wanting a New Japan crossover literally since day one, since AEW. I'm hoping all these injuries and potential lower buy rate will end the relationship. Wait a minute. You've been wanting a crossover and you hope that these injuries and a possible lower buy rate will end the relationship. I assume you mean won't end the relationship. What is going on with some of these super chats? What is going on here? I'm going to assume you mean won't end the relationship. Look, when they get to Chicago, holy shit. There's Bratty Solomonster. Look at that. With his toy gun. Supreme Court loves that. Thank you for the 50 bot. Was that Allison? I think that was Allison. Thank you, Allison. That was very kind of you. I believe that was Allison. Allison, yes, thank you. Holy shit. I'm going to get to her super chat here in a little bit. Boots with the $2. Have you submitted your application to be a baddie? Of course. Of course, as soon as I found out that they were taking applications, I put mine in because of everybody that you would expect to be part of the baddies. I mean, I look the baddest of them all. You know, I would fit right in. Witterbird, just like WWE fans you can hate, you can see with AEW fans, but I just like what I like and I appreciate both and dislike both. And that's the way it should always be. You like what you like and you dislike what you dislike. But again, there's an audience for this. You can't argue with almost 20K in the United Center and $1 million gate. You can't argue with that. And we'll see if the Dynamite ratings rebound coming out of Forbidden Door because they have been trending down now. I noticed that last night's Dynamite show shot back up by over 100,000. I was actually expecting it to go even a little bit lower. It actually shot up by a lot. So That if you're an AEW fan or if you're Tony Khan, you know, that's got to be a positive sign. But the Dynamite ratings, they've taken a hit. They've taken a bit of a hit the last few weeks. Jessica Green with a 9.99. I finished teaching summer school today. What better way to start my summer break than listening to you? I hope you're enjoying your summer. As always, thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Jessica. I am doing well. I hope you are having a good summer so far. We're only like 2 days into the summer, though. We still got a lot of summer left to go. Justin Canales, 9.99 super chat. No message. Just dropping some love. Thank you. Thank you, Justin. Yeah, Huli doesn't get to watch the sound off live. He's hanging out somewhere else. He's hanging out getting drunk at the bar, this guy. Tonight he's on the wagon. Alex Ollie. Okada was on New Japan Show Monday. He is jet lagged. Respect to him for showing up last night. I fail to understand why Naito is not on the show, though. Yeah, you know, I was wondering about that, and I wonder if it has anything to do with the eye operation that he had some weeks ago. I know he had an operation on his eye, and he didn't miss much time the first time he had the operation. I think it was the same operation. And I don't know, maybe it has something to do with that. Has he been working, you know, very many matches recently? I don't know. LSF45, sad not to see Punk and Danielson on the show, but time to see some other talent shine. Well, they're going to have that chance on Sunday. They're going to have that chance. Witterbird, Excalibur, could learn from Michael Cole, and that first and last time I'll ever say that. Again, he's just doing what he's told, but I just don't see how anybody is excited. Oh, did you hear what Excalibur said? In fact, no, I didn't. I did not hear what he just said. What did he say? And it's just, he's trying to get his shit in, and I just don't see what purpose it serves. Especially when he's stumbling and he's fucking up the match announcements. And then he's got to go back. Oh, no, I meant this title. No, because there's so many titles. I felt bad for the guy. Naito worked against Okada in a tag 2 days ago. That's kind of what I was talking about, though. I mean, how many matches, especially singles matches, if any, has he had recently? Because I don't get the sense that he's, you know, he's been working a lot. You know, he did a tag match. I don't know. It is a little strange that he's not on the show. Sean Smith with the $11 super chat. Much love from the UK. What are your thoughts on a Tanahashi win if Punk is not out for too long? MJF could assist to screw Tony, and we could get the original title match when Punk is ready. I still think it would be a mistake to do that. I think you got to get that belt on Moxley. And Punk and Moxley is a big match. It's not like Punk and Moxley is not a big match. It's a match we've not seen before in AEW. Moxley is still one of the more over baby faces on the entire roster. He's a dependable guy that they can go with. Hasn't missed a lot of time with injury. I mean, he obviously went to rehab for a few months, but, you know, like in WWE, it's, they really leaned on him and relied on him. He didn't get hurt too often. There was one bad injury that he had. He was out for about 8 or 9 months. But otherwise, he was like an Iron Man. So you got to keep that in mind, too. He's dependable. If they need him to hold on to that title for a while and show up and be on TV and defend it, he's the guy. It's not Tanahashi. And I don't get the sense Punk is going to be back that as soon as you think. I think he may be out for a while. But I mean, if they didn't send MJF to the championship match and have him win that battle royal and then beat Moxley, I wouldn't have him, you know, to have him do a run-in to help Tanahashi win, the New Japan guy, just to fuck with Tony Khan. I mean, it's an interesting idea. But then you're still in the same place where you have a guy who is just not going to be around. And if that's the case, then why even have an interim champion in the first place? Spicy dried chicken. Injuries, backstage politics, or international politics? An underwhelming road to Forbidden Door. How the hell did Tony Khan leave off Keith and Swerve? Well, if you listen to my rundown, you would know that they are on the show. Their match will be announced on Rampage tomorrow night. Justin with the 1999. What's going on, Justin? Huge fan. What is your opinion on Rob Zombie's Halloween movies? I did not hate them, but they're not in my top three or top five of the Halloween films. I didn't hate them. I mean, if you kind of look at them independent as their own thing, you know, they're obviously very violent, as most of his movies are, and that's fine, but he had a different take on the Michael Myers story. You know, it's just, it's not, it doesn't rate with the original. It just doesn't rate with the original. Witterbird with the double super chat. Cesaro, total man crush and talent. And then he also says, Cesaro holding a brass ring if it is him. Food Hive wants to know what up in the chat. So everybody say hello to Food Hive. Meaty Sentai, that magic spoon spot finally sold me, getting cookies and cream, fruity and cinnamon. Well, make sure you use that link in the description down below. That way it helps the podcast out. We want to show the magic spoon folks that you guys like cereal. If you like cereal, you can get $5 off. You get $5 off. Give it a shot. You know, give it a shot. I remember when I got samples for the first time, I was very impressed. I didn't know what to expect. I said, oh, it looks like the cereal I used to eat when I was a kid. Only it's healthier for you. And then I tried it out, and some flavors I like more than others, but yeah, show some love for our friends over at Magic Spoon. Buy some cereal. See, now you got to see what Solid Monster's kitchen looks like. You got to see what his old-ass kitchen looks like. Spicy dried chicken, Christian Cage's promo was heartless and cheap. I love it. Do whatever it takes to piss off Jungle Boy and the AEW crowds. King Bling Blah, why don't you think we don't have any weapons matches? Because that's not the point of the pay-per-view on Sunday. Yeah, you really don't get that in a lot of New Japan matches. So it's just more straight wrestling matches. That's what this show is being sold on. It's not about garbage wrestling. It's not about thumbtacks or ladders or, you know, plunder. We get enough of that on all the other AEW pay-per-views. That's not what this show is about. This show is not about plunder and weapons and cages and ladders and chairs and kendo sticks. And it's not about that. We'll probably get some chairs, though. I would imagine we'll get some shares. Let's see here. Who else we got? JM. Dropping $35 in the chat. What's going on, JM? My boy JM. Always love seeing him. I haven't seen much New Japan outside of its AEW involvement. Which New Japan wrestlers are you most excited to see on Sunday? Okada. I would have said Ishii. Okada, I would say Ospreay is always fun to watch. Probably Okada and Ospreay are the top two. But Jay White, I mean, he won me over a long time ago. I was not sold on Jay White originally. When he first really started getting the push and they put Ghetto with him and he turned on Okada, I still wasn't sold on him. But his in-ring work, but also his promo work, he's won me over. And I take notice whenever I see him on TV. So I'm looking forward to all of their matches. Let's see. Spicy Dried Chicken. Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee are on the Forbidden Door. I honestly didn't know earlier. This booking for the pay-per-view is really underwhelming. Again, it has not been officially announced yet. It's going to be announced on TV tomorrow night. Brian Becerra, thank you for that $35 super chat earlier. Bryant, one of our loyal listeners on the main show every week. If you listen to the main podcast, you always hear Brian's name. I think I've mentioned his name on every show that I've done now for years. I think some of them are competing to see how many straight consecutive shows can they get their name shouted out on. And I think he if he's not in the lead, he's pretty close. I think Bryant is pretty close. Matthew Dinkins. Do you think Dakota Kai will be the next baddie? Also, what is the likelihood of having New Japan stars wrestling at All Out. It's possible you might have one or two, but you know, once the Forbidden Door stuff is over, I think it's run its course for now. You gotta put the focus back on your existing AEW talent. They want to have one person on the show that they can bring in for it, that's fine, but I wouldn't have more than that. Vitamin Vision, Forbidden Door booked like a video game. I said, it's Tony Khan fantasy booking a wrestling card. C. Moonsault, is Brian's injury a work? And he wants to wrestle Zack Sabre Jr. himself. It is not a work. Why would it be a work? Why would he take himself out of two of the biggest shows all year at a time when they're already suffering from other injuries? I noticed Red Velvet is also hurt. I have no idea how she got hurt. I have no idea how that happened. Apparently, she's on the injured list as well. But no, it is not a work. Brock Benningfield, $9.99. I know little to nothing of New Japan and won't be watching Forbidden Door. I like good work rate, but need a little emotional investment. I've received none from the lead up. You rock, Solo Monster. That's fair enough. That is fair enough. But again, just remember, even though I know they've been taking up a lot of time with this on the weekly television shows, ordinarily there would be no pay-per-view at all this weekend. So the reason they're doing this is a gift, I said it was a gift from Tony Khan to his loyal audience. He's giving his hardcore fans, of which he is part, something to look forward to. Because he himself is a fan, and he himself, I'm sure, has wanted to put this together for a very long time. And were it not for the pandemic, we would have had this a lot sooner. Spicy dried chicken. I will be revealing my G1 Climax 32 prediction. Very good. There's the super chat from Allison Tuckwab. $50 super chat drop. Jeff Hardy needs to go to prison, and maybe he'll learn his lesson and wake up and realize what he's doing. His brother can't always be with him. He is family, too. He's got to stop dumb stuff. I agree. Just don't let all the Jeff Hardy stans on social media see that. They don't like that very much. They get very angry with you. You don't show full 100% support for Jeff Hardy. They don't like that very much. Hey, Temjin Zephyr, he's been a channel member for 12 straight months. Just wanted to say hi, heading home from the gym, and hope all is well. Looking forward to the show, despite the injuries that hurt the card a bit. Yeah, just a bit. Just a little bit. Alex Ollie will be watching you, JD, commentate House of Glory on Saturday. That's very cool. You can always check out the Hog shows. The show this weekend is going to be on Fight TV for anybody who wants to check out a Hog car. We got a lot of names coming in. Eddie Kingston is in the main event against Jonah. Then he's got to fly to Chicago for Forbidden Door, but he'll be at the House of Glory show on Saturday night in Queens. Got Lince Dorado making his in-ring debut. We've got Homicide is going to be in action. We've got the debut of Dragon Lee and Dralístico. Got a lot of good stuff on that show. Joseph Brooks, should Apollo win the NXT title? I would say if and when they are ready to finally call up Bron Breakker, which should not happen yet. I wouldn't mind an Apollo run for a few months with the championship, and then he drops it to somebody like Carmelo Hayes. I'd have no issue with that. Derek Fleming Jr., don't retire my rise. You can do it. Yeah, I'll probably get back to it. I'm giving it a little bit of time here. But I will probably go back and try again. Food Hive, last time I went on vacation, I came back with glass in my knee. I wonder what crazy shenanigans he got himself into this time on vacation. Can anyone say penis power from Johnny? What is going on with this super chat? And what is this vacation I was supposedly on? I haven't taken a vacation in 2.5 years. I'm just working all the time. If I'm gone, it's probably work related. I've had like 5 people say, I hope you enjoyed your vacation. What vacation are we talking about here? apparently my body went on vacation, but my mind went somewhere else. Jay Baker from Sound Off, or for Sound Off Gamer, you should play The Quarry. Campy horror game inspired by the 80s. You'll have fun and an easier time than the Rumble on 2K22. Well, if it's on Steam, I could probably play it through there, unless it's a freeware game. Scott Woodford. How dare you turn on Jeff Hardy? Stupid Twitter people. Your response was great. Yeah, that was one of the greatest memes I've ever seen. And as soon as I had my opportunity to use it, I said, ah, this is my moment here. This is my shot. What a fantastic meme. If you didn't see it, it's still up on my Twitter page. King Bling Blah, Mox deserves it because COVID fucked his first run. Tenorio, I have a fear that this will be a one-off pay-per-view because of how cursed it has been. Mel 21, Shinbone to the dome when your mama ain't home. Sucks that Brian Danielson is out injured. Vitamin Vision, has Punk been a bust for someone that had... Oh, don't tell Tony Khan that. Oh, don't tell Tony Khan that. You saw his response at the media scrum to what Eric Bischoff said? No, he has not been a bust. As Tony Khan said, there are business metrics that he sees that would indicate that Punk has been anything but a bust. Punk has not been a bust. He was not able to sustain ratings at the level they were when he first came back, although I don't know that anybody expected them to keep doing 1.3 million or whatever they did that week. I don't think Rampage will never see numbers like that ever again. But to say that he is a bust is just not true. Iceman 38, how would you fix the AEW women's division? I feel Tony is like Vince and doesn't care for the women. It's just a matter of consistently giving them more time on TV. Don't just have it where their match comes on, you go to a break, and 80% of the match happens during the picture-in-picture, you know? Don't take people like Marina Shafir, who were not ready for television yet, and put them on TV every single week. They have talented, capable women on that roster, so they need to just keep coming up with ideas for different women. You could have 3 different programs going on at the same time. You could have Jade Cargill has one, Thunder Rosa has one, maybe there's a random women's program going on elsewhere on the show. And just get them reps, put women in the ring who, you know, can go out there and tear it up. Because all I hear every week, it's always the same criticisms, you know, oh, this match was bad, this match really wasn't that great. It's because sometimes they put people in the ring who just aren't ready for that spot. You know, they're just not ready for prime time. I think he's got to do a better job of picking the women that he, you know, pushes on the TV shows. Spicy Dried Chicken. Block C and D in the G1 climax will be hard to pick. Allison Tukwa, what happened to MJF? I don't see him wrestling. He would make a good wrestler at WWE. Well, he took his ball and went home. They're doing an angle with him. I don't know what the end game is, but only he and Tony Khan know the answer to that. Otherwise, nobody knows where MJF is and when he might be back. Derek Fleming, does Omega show face on Sunday? I think so. He can show up. Yeah. I can see him showing his face on the show. Dr. Scorpio, my first introduction to Okada was his match with Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 11, which from then on I started watching New Japan. Thank God there are other options. David Ruiz, hola, Salamonster from Spain. First time I can watch you live. Love your shows and reviews, never missed one. Forbidden Door looking nice. Much love and respect. Well, thank you, David. I'm glad you were finally able to get on here live. Usually I don't run on Thursday, but we went a little bit earlier than usual. Usually I'm on at like 10 or 11 o'clock. Lakers pass. Roman and Lesnar ends like Shawn and Triple H at the Rumble in 04. Oh, God. Ugh. Don't wish that. Don't wish that into existence. The Coug 97. My local draft house is showing John Carpenter Film Fest, Snake Plissken in New York, Jack Burton in Chinatown, and Arnie driving Christine. John Carpenter is my favorite director, so I love me a good John Carpenter movie. Jay Baker, The Quarry is definitely on Steam. Thank me later. Spicy Dried Chicken, The Good Son Scenario, Forbidden Door Edition. Save one and let the other go. Evil or QT Marshall? I would let them both go. You know what I would do? I would let Evil go. And I would lull QT into this false sense of security and make him think that I was saving him and start pulling him up. And then I would just smile. I wouldn't even say anything. And then I would let him go. And I would laugh as he fell. You know how the Roadrunner would fall off a cliff in the old Looney Tunes cartoons and you would see him go down, 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 down. That'd be me watching QT Marshall go down, 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 down. That's what I would do. David Wilson, Thatcher was not a name that came to mind, but another one that just came to mind was Davy Boy Smith Jr. What are your thoughts, if not Claudio? That wouldn't do much for me. It's got to be Claudio. Claudio or bust. We got to get that guy back on TV. He's been off TV long enough. We got to get him back on TV. What has happened to Evil? I think the better question is, who cares? Don't argue it. Just accept it. Yes, that's what I meant. Wile E. Coyote, yes. I was referring to the Roadrunner cartoons, but yes, you are correct. It was Wile E. Coyote who would always fall off the cliff. Spicy Dried Chicken with the $5 super chat. Should be popping up here in a second. The Young Bucks are turning into Hulk Hogan's son with the tanning. Hulk Hogan's son, but not Hulk Hogan? There's a reason that people used to call Hogan the Orange Goblin. You do realize that. All right, we are all caught up on your messages. Some good questions in there, and some bizarre ones, but it's always good to mix them up a little bit. And yes, I'm not going to leave you guys hanging. We are going to do, I know you've been waiting for it. I know you've been waiting for it. It is time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
This is where we try to book ourselves. A couple of random matches here. One with the men, one with the ladies, and now brand new tag team. Be the booker randomizer that I create. Actually, I created all three of them. It's very time consuming, but we always have fun with it here on these streams. So let's kick things off here. Let's start with the men's match. You know, we got Forbidden Door coming up on Sunday, right? Tony Khan got to fantasy book a pay-per-view. I'm going to fantasy book my own card here. Let's see if I can do a better job. We begin with Joseph Park Esquire from Impact Wrestling. I know not everybody was a fan of that storyline, but that was one of my guilty pleasures back then watching Impact. Abyss's brother, Chris. Or no, Abyss's brother, Joe. Joseph. Still remember when he was in the back talking to Sting and he said to Sting, I don't want to kayfab you. I don't want to kayfab you, Sting. What a waste. The WWE never gave Abyss a spot like in a Royal Rumble. He's been working for them behind the scenes now for at least 3 or 4 years. And, yeah, there are other people who have debuted who came from TNA who, you know, people knew who they were and they got a pretty decent reaction. AJ Styles obviously got a great reaction. I always thought that he at least deserved that one moment. And they never gave it. I know he was pretty much physically broken down at that point, but it would have been nice to see him get a moment. Well, I'm going to give him a moment myself. If WWE's not going to do it, then fuck WWE. I'm going to give him a moment here. Although it's not him, it's his brother. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a match. What a match. Joseph Park Esquire against the Gobbledygooker Esquire from the Esquire, from the Gobbledygooker firm of, I'll get in trouble if I say that. But anyway, so. Yeah, we pretty much screwed the pooch on that one. So let's move on. Let's pretend this never happened. And we'll just go from here. We'll just move on to the ladies. we'll just move on to the ladies. We begin with, the lovely Eve Torres, former WWE Divas Champion, one of the most beautiful divas, I always thought, in WWE history. Let's see who Eve is going to be stepping in. And Eve is another one. I said this about Candice Michelle. Eve improved a lot over the years from the first time I saw her. We've got Eve one-on-one with Charlotte Flair. I think that'd be a pretty good match. I know Charlotte gets a lot of hate, but she's had some very good matches. I think that her and Eve could put together a very good match. Let's move on to the tag teams. This is where it gets interesting. We haven't done too many of these yet. I only debuted this a few weeks ago. Let's see. We begin with the Rhodes Scholars. Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. Interesting first choice. Let's see who we're going to put in the ring with the Rhodes Scholars. It'll be the Rhodes Scholars taking on, well, would you look at that, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, the now former AEW Tag Team Champions. What do you guys think? I'm kind of on the fence about this one. Buzzer or Bell? Buzzer or Bell? I'm kind of indifferent towards this match. The Rhodes Scholars against Jurassic Express. I don't know which one to hit. I don't know which button to hit. I might hit nothing. I might just leave it alone. I might just leave this alone. I don't know. Probably it would be a fine match in the middle of the card somewhere. Jurassic Express goes over. Yeah, I would agree. Maybe 3.5 stars, probably. Bell? Everyone's saying Bell. All right. People like that match. All right. 2 out of 3. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Not bad. We'll forget that men's match ever happened, though. We'll forget that ever happened. What we got here? What other super chat came in? Who was that? It was Dr. Scorpio. Dr. Scorpio, at least we rarely get rematches on Be the Booker. Yeah, I don't know. We get a lot of the same faces, but I don't know that I've done a rematch. Because there's enough of them. There's so many of them in there. I think the men's one has almost 200 names, and the tag team one has over 160, and the women, I think, maybe are like 130. You know, there's enough in there that we shouldn't be repeating matches, but we do get some of the same faces sometimes. Sandow not winning the world title was a crime. I wouldn't go that far. I would not have put the world title on this guy. I do think he should have won that battle royal at WrestleMania, but it's the Andre battle royal, so who gives a fuck? I mean, they don't care about it, so why should I? Now it's such an important battle royal now, they've bumped it to SmackDown. I should book an entire card. One of these days we'll do that. We'll book a whole card. We'll book our own Forbidden Door. Do some triple threats. We can do that at some point. King Bling Blah, we already did that. We did a whole Be the Booker tournament for the men and the women a few months ago. And I let you guys vote. So, yeah, we already did that once before. We might do that again in the future, but it's still... I did it somewhat recently. I'm not going to do that again. Do I hate any Boston sports teams? No? Oh, sorry. Yes, it's on WrestleMania SmackDown. How could I get that wrong? 10 lashes for Solomonster. These fucking people. G1, Be the Booker. That's too complicated. That's way too complicated. Did I ever go to an SNL show? No, I've been to a Jeopardy taping, and I auditioned for Wheel of Fortune. I auditioned for Wheel of Fortune. I told that story on the podcast right after I had my audition. I don't remember what episode that was, but it's definitely in the archive somewhere. I went to a Wheel of Fortune audition. Yes, I did. If you want to hear all about it, you got to do a Google search, and you might be able to find it that way. I was at a Conan O'Brien taping when he ran this theater. It was uptown in New York. I don't remember which one it was. And I got the show where he happened to have one of the Triumph the Insult Comic Dog skits. I don't remember which one. So they put it up on the big screen, and you know, everybody was very entertained by Triumph. Have I ever been in an S&M show? That's very creepy. And I'm going to have to put you on some kind of a watch list for that question. So thank you, Epsilon Sama. And I had coffee with a girl? Maybe I did. It's been so long, I don't even remember what I did when it was over. I don't remember. Boomerang auditioned for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, did not make the cut. Yeah, you know, Triumph was over as fuck, Hooli, and I'll tell you something. One of the funniest segments I've ever seen in my entire life. And I mean, he was being brutal to these people. Like, I don't know that they would be able to do the segment today, but it was when they sent Triumph to the opening of one of the Star Wars movies. I don't remember if it was The Phantom Menace or it was opening at the Ziegfeld Theater in New York. And so everybody was waiting in line outside the theater, and they sent Triumph down there. They sent Smigel down there. He was completely brutal. He was completely ruthless with these, all these Star Wars fans. And I just remember, like, there was one point where he was gathering people up, and he said, "All right, it's time to do some trivia." And the first question he had was, "What substance was Han Solo frozen in?" So if you're a Star Wars fan, and I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but you know, I know Mr. Spock and Captain Kirk and all that. But if you were to ask a Star Wars fan, what was the substance that Han Solo was frozen in? They would probably say carbonite, right? That's the answer that they would give. And he said, no, I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry. The correct answer is, who gives a shit? I thought, he's exactly right, because I don't give a shit. And there was another part. There was somebody there dressed up as Darth Vader. He had the whole Darth Vader outfit and everything. And he had this like battery pack on his chest that he said, this is what he uses to help him breathe. And Smigel could hardly get the words out. He goes, which of these buttons do you push to call your parents to pick you up? And then there was a guy behind him in a stormtrooper outfit, and he made the comment, and he goes, you know, you would look really good with some mustard and some sauerkraut on there. And then Smigel made a crack about, you know, him possibly being a Korean guy under there. Again, none of the shit would fly today. And then he says, reveal yourself, you know, take your helmet off and reveal yourself. And finally, the guy takes it off. He goes, put it back on. Everything about that segment was just gold. It's like 10 minutes long. It's like a 10 minute long segment. I almost peed myself. I was laughing so hard. So. Yeah, and then at the very end, he has somebody dressed up as Spock who comes and just flips off everybody in line. Oh, those are the good old days. Yeah, Colonel Sanders. That's what that guy looked like. Jay Baker says, WWE 2K22, my GM mode is calling you. You would kill it. Yeah, I've heard about that. I've heard about universe mode. Spicy dried chicken. Vince McMahon has a jumping off the steel steps meme on social media. Yes, I saw that when it started being shared online. Yes, Kareem. That was one of the more meaner moments of that segment, because nobody wanted spoilers about the movie. He goes, I got a spoiler. He goes, you want a spoiler? I got one. He goes, you will die alone. I'm trying to think. There was another one where I think two Star Wars fans, they were having like a mock wedding or something, and then they were banging their toy swords or something. And I mean, he was merciless on these people. Most of them had a good sense of humor about it, but you could tell some of them were very uncomfortable. Yeah, when I saw Vince jump off those steps, they cut away. The camera on Monday night cut away. I thought he was going to blow out his quads again. But it goes back to what I said last week. You know, him being on TV again on Monday, wouldn't be shocked if he showed up on SmackDown tomorrow night. It's all just a giant fuck you to everybody who thinks that he's going to get kicked out of his own company, or he's going to be pressured into stepping down because they can't really get rid of him. He would have to, you know, voluntarily step away. And in my mind, it's just his way of saying, no, this is my company. I'm going to be here front and center on the show. I don't have a whole lot to say, so I'll say a few words and they'll play my music and I'll go to the back and I'll sit down and put my headset on like I do every week. And if you don't like it, then tough shit. You know, he's asserting his dominance because that's what Vince McMahon does. But we'll see where that investigation ends up. We will see where that investigation ends up. All right. So I think we're all caught up on everything. This has been fun. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me on a rare Thursday stream. Usually this is not a night that I am streaming, but I was not able to go live last night. I wanted to make sure I did predictions for Sunday and talked about the final Dynamite. Tomorrow night we have SmackDown and Rampage. We have SmackPage or Ramdown, whatever you want to call it. Speaking of Ramdown, I feel like WWE is ramming that Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar match down all of our throats. But we'll talk about that on Sunday. We have episode 762 of the podcast, and then Sunday night, of course, is Forbidden Door. And as soon as Forbidden Door is over, you can come on back here and join me, and we'll dissect the entire show from beginning to end. Oofman Entertainment, looks like you're going to get the last word. Just posted the video of Triumph at the Star Wars Episode 1 premiere on the Facebook private group. Great stuff. See, I knew it was on YouTube somewhere. Probably not the best quality, but you can find almost anything. I mean, hell, you can find me on there. If you can find me on there, you can find anything on there. All right, be well, stay safe, and I will see you guys. Yes, good to see you as well, Huli. I know it's rare, but pop in here every now and then so I see your face. And I'll see you guys tomorrow night. That is the plan, tomorrow night after SmackDown and Rampage. Take care, guys.